And we're turning this evening in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew and to the chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 16. Again, I want to thank our brother for his words of welcome. It is a joy and a privilege for me to be given the opportunity to be able to come along night by night and to minister God's Word. And we're grateful to all that have gathered in tonight, with even some from our own congregation in Dromore. They're obviously glutton for punishment. I thought they would have heard enough of me, but we appreciate them coming. And others who would be visiting tonight, we do appreciate your support for this effort in the gospel. As our brother has said, do continue to pray that the Lord will draw near to us night by night. We might know his presence and his help, and it would please the Lord to break through, and that some precious soul or even souls might be the saved of the Lord as a result of this effort in the gospel. Tonight, we are coming to Matthew chapter 16 and moving down the chapter to the verse 21. As we take up our reading, Matthew 16 and the verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen. We'll end there at the end of the chapter. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word. This evening I want to draw your attention to the words of verse 26. And these words are speaking to us about the soul of man. And that's what I want us to think about this evening. And to personalize it, to think about our own soul. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul of man. Let's just unite our hearts together and ask the Lord for help as we come to the preaching of his word this evening. Our God and our Father, we do praise and thank thee tonight for the open door. We do praise thee for the gospel meeting. We thank thee, our Father, for all that have gathered in, and even for the singing of thy praise and for the messages and song. And we thank thee, our Father, for thine own precious word. We thank thee, our Father, that thy word is an inspired and an infallible word. And we ask, O God, that we might come to it this evening with reverence, and with that listening ear, knowing that it is the word of the only true and living God. And we thank thee, our Father, that thy word is able to make us wise unto salvation. And we pray that to this end tonight, each one of us might have that listening ear and that understanding heart. And we're conscious, our Father, that we need that power of God the Holy Spirit, Do be pleased to come, blessed third person in the Trinity. Do descend upon us here, we pray. And grant our Father we would know that help and that wisdom that comes alone from Thee. Father, we acknowledge that it's not by man's might and it's not by man's power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Father, come, minister unto hearts this evening. Do speak to souls, we pray, and that each one might know Thy salvation. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this is an age of internet shopping, and I'm not sure how technical you are or how au fait you are with the computer, but of course you can go online today and over the internet you can purchase just about anything just by the click of a button. And of course there's this site called eBay, and if you've been on the internet you may have been on eBay. And there are so many things that would be for sale on eBay. You would be able to do your Christmas shopping if you were to go on eBay. But there was not so long ago something that struck me that was for sale on eBay. And it was an individual, a lady, and she was putting her soul up for sale on eBay. She was a lady from Missouri. And she had been in some kind of car accident and she was left quite disabled. And she was rather disillusioned with life and she felt that all that she had left that was of any worth was her soul. And so she decided to put it on eBay. I don't know what the outcome of that was. I don't know if she had any watchers. I don't know if she had any bidders. I don't know if any transaction actually took place, but it did make me think about how people value their soul. And most people today put very little value upon their souls. They cling to things in this old world and they would count them as precious, but as far as their soul is concerned, they would put very little value upon it. They would rather cling to the material things of this world, and they would count them as dear, as precious, as valuable. But as far as their soul is concerned, it would barely cost them a thought. I'm sure most here would be able to remember back to the Zeebrugge ferry disaster. It was back in 1987, and I can remember it. And that was a disaster that took place with the ferry when it was just 100 metres from the shore. And it was quite remarkable. Within 90 seconds, that ferry was going to turn over, to capsize, and it would start taking on water. And just 100 metres from the shoreline, 193 lives were lost. And of course, there was a great rescue operation that swung into action. And it is said that whenever they were picking up some of the survivors out of the water, they were clinging to their bag of duty-free. My, holding on to the bag of duty-free. Isn't that an illustration to us of how people value things that really don't count at all? They would hold little value for their soul, but they cling on for grim death to the things of this old world. And it's a very sad picture whenever we think about that. The Bible teaches us about the soul of man, and how few today have any regard for the soul. When you think of this verse of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has said, "For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And this verse of Scripture would bring us this evening to think about our soul. And it's the most valuable possession that we could ever have. Firstly, tonight I want us to think about the details of the soul. Some details are given to us in the Word of God about the soul of man. And you can see that we each possess a soul, because the Lord is speaking in this verse of Scripture about man, and he speaks here personally and individually about man and his own soul. His own soul. So every one of us, we possess a soul. And this soul comes from God. I believe that we are made in the image of God, and God is a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and man is made as a trichotomy. There are three parts to man's being. He is body, soul, and spirit. Some believe that man is a dichotomy, because they believe that soul and spirit is one and the same thing, and they cannot be separated. And of course, man wouldn't be able to distinguish between them, but there's a key verse of Scripture that gives us something of a distinction between them. In Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 12, speaking about the Word of God, the Apostle writes, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so the Lord, and through His Word, He is able to distinguish between soul and spirit. So man has a soul. It's the invisible part of man. It is the very seat of our being and of our personality. It is what makes us the individuals that we are. It is the soul of man that distinguishes him from the animal kingdom. God has given to us a soul. You remember way back in the beginning when it was Adam. And in Genesis chapter 2 we learn that God made man of the dust of the ground. And there in the verse 7 of that second chapter in Genesis, you have God as He has made man of the dust of the ground, and he's just the body. Just the body, there's no life at that particular moment. And the verse goes on to say that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Our soul is given to us by God. And one day, the Bible teaches us that that soul shall be required again by God. And so we possess this soul. This soul is given to us by God. And in death, the soul leaves the body. We learn of that in God's Word as early as the book of Genesis, in Genesis the chapter 35. And it's speaking here about Rachel in her death. Genesis chapter 35 and the verse 18. "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died." And there was the soul of Rachel, and her soul was leaving the body. The soul was in departing. That was the point of her death. The Lord was taking back the soul which he had given. It's interesting as well to note in the life of Elijah, and one of the great miracles that he performed in 1 Kings and the chapter 17. The widow woman, whenever her son died, and Elijah came to where the child was, and he stretched himself upon the child three times. And in 1 Kings 17, the verse 21, he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And so the child had died. And if the miracle was going to be done, if the child was going to come back to life again, then the soul had to come back into the body. You see, in death, body and soul are separated in death. The Lord takes back that soul which he had given. The soul departs the body at death. It's required by God. that soul is an immortal soul. That soul lives forever and ever. You think of the words in the Psalm 16, whenever the psalmist was able to say there in the verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." My, the Lord will not leave his soul in hell. But the Bible shows us here that that soul is living on. The soul departs the body in death, but it lives on. And it lives on for all eternity. In the Psalm 17 and the verse 15, the psalmist David was able to say, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." And all the way through the Bible, we're pointed into eternity, and that the soul of man lives on in eternity. In one of two places. Either lives in heaven with the Lord, or in hell with the devil and his angels. And so whenever we think about some details of the soul, we can see that we each possess a soul, that soul is given by God, that one day that soul will be required again by God, and that soul lives on for all eternity. And so we do well tonight to think about our soul. I want you to notice, secondly, with me the danger of the soul, the danger that faces the soul. You see, in our text of Scripture in Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 26, the Lord says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the Lord is speaking here about the danger that faces the soul, and he places the soul here alongside the world by way of comparison. When you think about the world and the soul together by way of contrast, the world becomes that snare to the souls of men and women. And if you were to follow out this comparison which the Lord is drawing in this text of Scripture, you can think about the world and all that the world has to offer. You could think tonight about the pleasures of the world, all the carnality of this world, all that is offered by the world, that which appeals to the flesh, that which is sensual, appeals to the baser part of man. Whenever you think of that epistle of John, and in 1 John the chapter 2, the definition of the world is given, verses 15 and 16. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And the Word of God would be pointing out to us here that which is of the world, that which comes by way of contrast to the soul, by way of a snare and a danger to the souls of men and women. The things that the world has to offer will preoccupy the souls of men. The world will offer all the pleasures and all the vices that are abroad within this world. There's the prosperity of the world, getting gain. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting gain, providing it comes by honest means, and that we haven't set our hearts upon getting gain above everything else. And in this material age, sometimes that can be a terrible snare, that people are just taken up with that worldly gain and all that they can accumulate and all that they can come by way of getting rich in this world. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it's a snare to the soul. The power of the world. Men are competing for power every day. Their own little power struggles. Wanting to get that foothold whereby they can flatter themselves and get that puffed up opinion about themselves that they can make rules or make decisions. Man is consumed with that desire for power. That can be a snare to the soul. A danger to the soul. You think of all that the world has to offer by way of its pleasures and its prosperity and its power. You can even think of examples in the Word of God of those who would have had access to all of those things. Think of Abraham, the friend of God, the father of the faithful. He was a rich man, probably one of the richest men in the age in which he lived. And yet Hebrews 12 reminds us that by faith he obeyed the call of God and he was willing to go out, not knowing whither he went. You think of Moses. There was Moses in Egypt in the palace. You think of how he would have had access to all of the riches and pleasures and luxuries, all that Egypt had to offer was there at his disposal. But again, it would be Hebrews chapter 11, that powerful chapter about the faithful. And it says of Moses in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had it all at his disposal, but choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Solomon was another who had it all at his disposal. King Solomon had the pleasures and the prosperity and the power of this old world, but whenever he came to write the book of Ecclesiastes, what did he say of it all? He said, it's vanity. It's all empty. It cannot satisfy. If you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what was his view of this world, well, whenever you turn to John chapter 17 and there you have that great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what an insight that gives us to the prayer life of the Savior. And in John chapter 17, he shows us something there of his view of the world. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And the Lord was showing through this prayer that contrast between his people and the world. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Because the world is a danger to the soul. And it's a snare to the soul. And God shows that his people, those genuinely saved and born again of the Spirit of God, will be like himself. They will have that contempt for the world. But in this comparison that our text of Scripture is making to highlight the danger that is facing the soul, you can think about the world and all that the world has to offer, and then think about the soul, your soul, in comparison to the world. The soul has a worth that is beyond calculation. Your soul is of infinite value. because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life, was willing to shed his precious blood for your soul. And that shows us something of the value of the soul. And if we were able to put the things on scales tonight and put on one side of the scales all that this whole world could ever offer, yea, put the whole world on that side of the scales, and just put one soul on this side of the scale, may the scales will tip in favour of the one soul. It is of greater weight, it is of greater value than this whole world. The Saviour is highlighting this. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, just one soul, in comparison to the whole world? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, if it was possible tonight that you could gain this whole world, its pleasures, its prosperity, its power, that you could gain it all, and yet at the end lose your soul, we would have to say tonight, it would not be worth it. It would not be worth it. And throughout all eternity, you would realize that it was not worth it to gain the whole world. Because you would have no comfort, no compensation at all in eternity. But you would be tormented. You would realize it's not worth it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You remember the man in Luke chapter 16 tells us there of the rich man. And that rich man, whenever things seemed to be going well for him, he had no thought for his soul. And all he could think about was that prosperity and that taking of ease. In Luke chapter 12, when he thought when everything was prospering as far as this world was concerned, and all he could think about was taking his ease and eating and drinking and being merry. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul, your soul, your individual soul will be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You not see through that rich farmer in Luke chapter 12 the danger that there is to your soul in relation to this world. We need to be so cautious because it's not worth it, no matter what you would be giving in exchange for your own soul this evening. So we've thought tonight a little bit about the details of the soul and the danger of the soul. But we must think in the third place about the deliverance of the soul. That's the most important thing of all. And the deliverance of the soul, of your soul, is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless your soul would be lost for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon that center tree. He has laid down his life in order to pay the price for our deliverance, for the salvation of our souls. I don't know tonight what your spiritual condition is. I don't know most tonight how you would stand before the Lord. But I know tonight the Lord is able to save you. I know the Lord is able to deliver you. I love the words. Whenever you think of it in Daniel, whenever he was cast into the den of lions and the king came early the next morning with a question. And the question was, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee? Praise God, we know the answer to that question. Hebrews 7 tells us he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to deliver tonight. He is able to save to the uttermost. And the Lord is interested in your soul tonight. You might think, well, who am I? Just an ordinary individual. Perhaps you would think of yourself as insignificant as far as this world is concerned. But oh, you possess a soul. A never dying soul. A soul that needs to be saved. And the Lord is interested in your soul tonight. Just in one single soul. Do you remember Luke chapter 15, that chapter that speaks to us about lost things? And there was the sheep that was lost. Just one sheep out of 100. And yet the shepherd was interested in the one sheep that was lost. What about the piece of silver? It was 10 pieces of silver. It was just one that was lost. But she swept the house until she found it. You think of the two sons. One of them was lost. And yet that the father had the interest in that one son. And so when you take it, the sheep was 1 of 100, the silver was 1 of 10, the son was 1 of 2, just one. And just one soul is of interest to the Lord. In Luke chapter 15, those lost things were all found. In verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven, listen to the words, over one sinner that repenteth. Just one soul. May the Lord's interested in your soul tonight. In this gospel mission in Akalee Free Presbyterian Church, the Lord is interested in your soul. And if you were to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, there would be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, the value of your soul. Do not sell your soul tonight for anything. Don't be clinging on to something in this old world at the expense of your soul's salvation. It is not worth it. But oh, that tonight you might come and give your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able, he's willing, he's ready to save your soul tonight. Oh, that you would come to him. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Lord is able to save your soul, and he's able to keep your soul. May for all eternity. If you're not saved tonight, it is the prayerful desire of God's people here that you would take the opportunity presented to you. You would accept the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ and you would come to him tonight. And you would know that your soul is saved for all eternity. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, he told that beautiful story about Rowland Hill and Lady Anne Erskine. Rowland Hill was one of the early Calvinistic Methodist preachers. He did most of his preaching in the open air. And he had one of those booming voices. They said it could be heard up to a mile away. And whenever he came to preach in the open air, great crowds would have gathered to hear him. And one day as he was preaching, Lady Anne Erskine was going by in her carriage and she saw the crowds. She questioned as to what was taking place and she heard that Rowland Hill was preaching. And she thought she would take the opportunity to stop and listen. Something remarkable happened. Rowland Hill actually spotted her and recognized her. And he stopped preaching at that point. And he said, I am going to have an auction. And I am going to sell the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. Now there was a silence that fell across that great crowd as he singled out Lady Anne Erskine and he was auctioning her soul. Spurgeon tells the story how Roland Hill, he said, "I will start the bidding." And he says, "The world is bidding for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. World, what will you offer for her life?" And the world said, "I will offer her all the vanities that the world has to offer, all the pleasure crazes of the world, all the amusements of the world, all the riches, all the comforts of the world. I'll offer that in life." And Roland Hill said, "World, what will you offer Lady Anne Erskine in death?" World replied, "Nothing to offer in death or in eternity." Roland Hill said, "I hear another bidder for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. It is the devil who is bidding. Devil, what would you bid for Lady Anne Erskine's life?" And the devil replied, "I can give to her the pleasures of sin for a season. She can indulge in all the dainties that the world has to offer, every vice imaginable in life. But devil, what will you give her in death?" And the devil said, "Nothing but hell and destruction forever." Roland Hill said, "I hear another bidder for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. It's the blessed Saviour. Lord Jesus, what will you give for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine?" The Saviour replied, "I have already given my life's blood for her soul. And my, throughout her life, she can know that joy of sins forgiven. She can know the peace of God within her heart that passeth all understanding. She can know that deliverance from guilt. She can know that contentment, that satisfaction, knowing that the presence of the Lord will never leave nor forsake her. Lord Jesus, what will you give her in death?" The Lord is able to reply, "I can grant my presence even over death itself. Out into eternity, the bliss and the joy and the glory of heaven for all eternity." Roland Hill said, "The Lord Jesus Christ is by far the highest bidder for the soul of Lady Anne Erskine." And Roland Hill turned to her and he directly said to her, "The highest bidder is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you consent to give him your soul?" And Lady Anne Erskine at that point did consent. And she came repenting of her sin, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord that day was to save her soul. And she became a great child of God. She became a great supporter of the gospel from that moment on. And I say this evening, as we close this gospel meeting, there is something of an auction for your soul. And the world is bidding for your soul. And the devil is bidding for your soul. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by far, is the highest bidder. Oh, do you consent tonight? Will you give your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you be saved? You know the joy of sins forgiven, that blessedness of knowing that it will be well with your soul for all eternity. I think about it tonight. Think about the words of this text of Scripture. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" May God bless his word to each of our hearts this evening. Amen.